I'd like to call to order the September 25th, 2025 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through Superior Court of Chatham County. If you got a cell phone or noise making devices, please silence them at this time and join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for this privilege of living here and thank you for this time to come together and do the business of this city. Lord, I pray your blessings on this proceeding. I pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom, help us to make right decisions. Help us to hear everything that's being said. Lord, I pray that you bless the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. If you're here and you're planning to speak or give testimony today, will you please stand? Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right, first we're going to have the approval of the minutes from the July 24th, 2025 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
All right. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the minutes are approved. Moving on to the regular, do I have a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
So moved.
All right, Mr. Plunk's made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the agenda is approved. First, we're going to hear 320 East 53rd Street. This is a variance to the minimum lot size to establish an ADU, 25-004189.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is Sadie Eschlerent with Development Services, here to talk about 320 East 53rd Street. So the petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the minimum lot size required from 7,500 square feet to 6,300 square feet to establish an accessory dwelling unit in the RSF6 zoning district. Here is the aerial and site map of the parcel. It's located in the Ardmore, Gold Estates, and Olin Heights neighborhood. Additionally, it's in the Ardmore Conservation District, which according to the zoning ordinance requires a recommendation from HPC for this variance. We received a letter from the city regarding this application, and it was placed on the consent agenda for yesterday's HPC meeting, and the recommendation letter is also attached to the packet. So the subject property is 6,300 square feet with 60 feet of width and 105 feet of depth. The property is zoned RSF6 and is a conforming parcel in the zoning district. Additionally, it does have lane access. The principal dwelling was built in about 1972 with a building footprint of between 1,300 and 1,700 square feet. And there is also currently an existing accessory structure on the rear of the property that is to be removed according to the petitioner. So the petitioner is proposing to build an ADU on the rear of the property with a building footprint of about 480 square feet. The lot is not large enough to establish an ADU in the zoning district by right. However, it does meet all other requirements, like such as setbacks and meeting 40% of the principal structure in regarding to building footprint. Additionally, the petitioner has indicated that the ADU will be two stories and meet the height requirement. So this is the sections that they are requesting a variance from. So in terms of the analysis portion, the requested variance is generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because it is a standard that may be varied where the ZBA deems appropriate. And additionally, like we've mentioned before, there is an upcoming ADU text amendment that will likely change the 125% to 100%. So this lot wouldn't need the variance in the future if that were to move forward, just for future thinking. Here is the proposed site plan from the petitioner. Here's the principal dwelling, and then here is the proposed 480 square foot ADU in the rear. So with that said, MP staff recommends approval of the requested variance.
Thank you, City. Does anyone have any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Mr. Savage, would you please come forward?
Andrew Savage. I am the homeowner of the property. Thank you to the board for being here today and listening to this. Like I said, this is my personal residence. So the immediate plans for this will be to get some rental income. This is a new house for us, and that will help offset the cost of the mortgage. More longer term plans are that this could be a place for aging parents to visit and stay in longer term. In general, I agree with the staff report and don't have anything else to add unless you all have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Savage? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Dennis, please say your last name for me.
Goldbach.
Please come forward. State your name for the record.
I'm Dennis Goldbach. I live at 324 East 53rd. I'm the adjacent neighbor. And also the other adjacent neighbor has sent an email. He can't be here today. He's out of town. We both oppose the construction. I also sent an email in. I don't think it made it to the, I don't know if you have access to it or not. I sent it in 2 days ago, but kind of late. When I moved to Ardsley Park about 40 years ago, one of the reasons I moved there was because it was a stable neighborhood with yards and homeowners, and I just like the look of it. A lot of folks, I've had tons of friends over the years that live downtown. Well, none of them live downtown anymore. But they always were like, you don't want to live downtown? I was like, no, I don't want to live downtown. I like having a yard. I like having trees. I like having a neighborhood. I like being able to dig in the dirt when I need to. So anyway, that was a decision I made 40 years ago. And over those 40 years, it never once occurred to me that I'd be living next to a rental property, an additional. It just never occurred to me that there would ever be another building built on the adjacent lot. I came back from a few days in the mountains to relax, and I came home and realized that was the proposal. So I signed out front, which is behind a dumpster, by the way. You can't see it from the street. I don't know if you have this email I sent, so I'll just read it. This is what I wrote. As a neighbor directly adjacent to the above referenced property, I have many issues and concerns in regards to this variance request. These include loss of green space, increased noise, increased stormwater runoff, exacerbating existing drainage issues, which we do have, diminished privacy, increased traffic, especially in an often muddy and rutted unpaved lane. Thing is unpassable at times, at least from one end especially. Decreased parking availability. Just as a side, the property in question has a fire hydrant in front of it, so it's already limited in its amount of parking. You might not know that because there's a dumpster in front of the fire hydrant at this time, but that's another story. All right. Further, I write, our block is a stable, owner-occupied neighborhood. Personally, I've lived in my home for close to 40 years. New rental properties will potentially impact this stability. This property is apparently being modified in a speculative manner, as the petitioner has ownership of several other properties around town. I'm sure he's a familiar face because he's come in for other variances. Probably got at least half a dozen other properties. He might live there for a couple of years. There's tax reasons to do that. I further write, the Government Accountability Office issued a report last year showing that a full one quarter of all single family homes in Atlanta are owned by investment firms. Jacksonville is at 21%. Do we have any idea where we stand in Savannah or how this might affect our quality of life? And I give a citation. Closing out, please note that I strongly oppose the approval of this variance. Thank you for your time and consideration. But there was a question in here, and I want you to think about it. Downtown used to be a place where people lived. Who owns and lives in a house downtown other than a few multimillionaires? Is that the future we want for Ardsley Park? And actually, I'm in Ardmore, technically. I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gobo. Karen Bold, you have to help me with this. Thank you.
So I live across the street. Dennis and I are neighbors. I have a question, a couple questions first for maybe your technical person. What percentage of a variance is this? Are they asking for 5% change, 10% change? What's the?
I think that's in the staff report.
Percent of change they're asking for. My understanding from my superficial understanding how this works is they're asking for a 20% change. That's a rule change. It's not a variance. 2% is a variance. 2 feet is a variance. 20% is a big change, unless I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
While she's looking that up, in this meeting to object to this particular ADU, what is the power of the neighbors to stop it from happening?
You have the right to speak here at this public meeting, and other than that, that's it.
Right. So if
taking into consideration
here, and we all spoke and you guys voted yes, the vote just happens yes, correct?
All decisions
of
this board.
Any more action we can take.
All decisions of this board are final, and any appeals to our decisions have to be done through Superior Court of Chatham County.
So then technically speaking, you would make a decision, we would find out about the decision, and then we would have to appeal the decision.
That's correct.
To stop it from happening. All right.
So they currently have 105% lot area where they need 125% as the zoning ordinance currently asks. So they're requesting essentially a 20% variance from the zoning ordinance.
Right. So that's one of my objections. The parking is a problem there. 53rd Street floods in particular. I think the addition of a very large two-story building, which this will be maybe the 10th one I've seen go up in the neighborhood, is just a violation of the aesthetics of the neighborhood. It's allegedly a protected neighborhood, but apparently any house flipper can buy a house and put a big two-story box in the backyard. There's also no access from the street to this ADU as far as I can see. Their garage has a driveway, but the garage is attached to the house. That means whoever's living in it, sounds like it could be four people, sounds like it could be two couples, are going to be driving up and down the lane. I strongly object to this. I'm concerned now that I also heard that they're talking about changing the percentage. That's going to increase the number. I'm assuming there's no limit on the numbers of these that can go in the neighborhood. That's my understanding. So when is the time to talk about this process in general as opposed to just objecting to this one? What type of meeting happens where we can talk about?
You want to challenge the process of how this happens? It'd probably be.
No. I'm asking just about the ADU process. She mentioned the rules are going to change potentially soon. How do we get involved in that?
So there's an upcoming ADU text amendment, which will be going before the MPC board. And so there'll be notice sent out for that. So I believe it'll be coming out later this year, but I don't know the specific timeline. I just wanted to make the board and the public aware of that for the future.
So a board recommendation, but not a public hearing.
There will be a public hearing, correct. It'll come to the MPC board.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
That's all.
Thank you very much. Mr. Savage, would you like to rebut public comment?
Yes, Andrew Savage again. Just wanted to reiterate that, yes, you have seen before I do incremental development professionally, but this is my home. I don't mess around with that for tax credits or loans or anything. If I say that it's my home, this is where I will be living. This is where we plan to live for a long time. From a speculative nature based on what the house was paid for, it would not work out well as an investment. I will say that a lot of these are this is the first time I'm hearing this from the neighbors, and I certainly, before any construction or plans are finalized, will want to talk with them and see what can be done to mitigate some of these concerns. From a parking standpoint, I've lived in other places in Ardsley where street parking is the norm. On 53rd Street, the overwhelming majority of houses do have driveways that provide off-street parking, so there is plenty of parking on the street. And from a yard footprint perspective, a large portion of the houses on that alley have accessory structures that are abutting the lane. And so from the standpoint of footprint or lot coverage, it would be very similar in those regards. And just to clarify as well, this will be a one-bedroom ADU. Do you guys have any additional questions for me?
Do you? Go ahead.
Good morning, Andrew. The access to this particular building will be from the lane, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the lot does have access to the lane. We're still thinking of putting an additional parking space back there. There's a chance that whoever's living back there could walk up the side of our house, but there is lane access.
Is the structure going to be a single-story structure or a two-story structure?
The initial in the submittal was put in as a two-story structure because that's just generally how they're done. With this feedback from the neighborhood, we're willing to talk about options. You know, maybe a one and a half story vaulted ceiling structure. So, but coming into this, the plan was two stories.
You might think about maybe using one of the bays on the first floor as a parking space for the tenant, and that would alleviate some of the concerns regard parking.
Sure.
That the neighbors have. But thank you also for mentioning that you're only allowed to have one bedroom in an ADU. So clear that misunderstanding up.
I believe the submittal did say that it would meet the height requirement, so there wouldn't be a variance needed either way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this time we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you want to say?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plump?
I'm just going to maybe make a question of staff. It does look like on this overhead view y'all provided, most of the neighboring properties all also have some kind of building in the back. Would most of those be existing non-conforming as far as lot size goes?
It's possible. So they do appear to have similar lot sizes. So they could be accessory structures or ADUs. You have to kind of like look at them in their history. Yeah.
Right. But just as a form of lot coverage, not looking into whether the ADUs are they, is it pretty comparable of, you know, all the neighbors have similar structures.
Correct.
On
yeah.
this block, basically, other than the petitioner.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ball.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's asking for anything that is beyond what the other property owners have, that other people in the neighborhood have. And, you know, I don't see a big problem with it, unfortunately, for folks that disagree.
All right. If no more board discussion, would someone care to make a motion?
Yes.
No, sir. We're in board discussion.
I motion we approve the requested variance.
Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the requested variance. Is there a second?
Plunk second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 1222 Graydon Street, variance to front yard setback to construct a primary dwelling on a non-conforming lot. 25-004237.
This is for 1222 Gridden Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the front yard setback from 15 feet to 5 feet in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant non-conforming lot in the R-6 zoning district. Here is the aerial and site map for the property. You can see that it is an irregularly shaped parcel. It's located in the Benjamin Van Clark Park neighborhood. The property currently measures about 3,500 square feet, and it's zoned RSF6. It's non-conforming in this parcel due to the lot area, and it also has lane access. So the lot is currently vacant. The petitioner is proposing to build a primary dwelling with a building footprint of about 1,330 square feet. The zoning ordinance requires a front yard setback of 15 feet for parcels in RSF6 that have lane access. That's notably different from street access, which has 20 feet, and they're requesting to reduce it to 5 feet. So according to the zoning ordinance, it is not consistent with the intent of it. However, the parcel is smaller than expected for its zoning district. So along with that, the lot area and the irregularly shaped nature of the parcel, they are considered hardships. Here is the plan for 1222 Graydon Street. Here's 1222 Graydon Street right here, and then here's the lane in the rear. This front yard setback is what they're requesting a variance from, where normally it would be 15 feet. And then staff has also mocked up an approximate building envelope on SAGIS to show what it would, the potential building envelope with the setbacks applied. So this would be with the 15 foot front yard setback to just kind of give a demonstration of what they could build if they weren't requesting a variance. So given these hardships, MPC staff does recommend approval of the requested variance.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would petitioner please come forward?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris, representing this petition. And I think, is it possible to pull up my submittal packet? I think one thing just to make you aware of that is also unusual about this is how many other parcels in this immediate vicinity don't meet those setbacks. We're trying to build. We can build a single family residence without that. But as you can see here on this map, that where the stars are, those are all the parcels in the area that don't meet that. So what we want to do is build something that's compatible with the area. I think this is a case where the zoning district doesn't match the development patterns that's there. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions for Mrs. Harris? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Sally tells me there's no members of the public that wish to speak concerning this petition. So we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Blount?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Well, hearing none, would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we grant the petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the request for a variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 1203 East Wahlberg. This is a variance to side yard setbacks, 25-004241.
So this is for 1203 East Wahlberg Street. The petitioner is requesting the following two variances in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant nonconforming lot in the RSF6 zoning district. One, to reduce the western side interior yard setback from 5 feet to 4 feet, and two, to reduce the eastern side interior yard setback from 5 feet to 3 feet. Here is the aerial and site map for the parcel to give context. It is pretty close to the to the previous application in terms of proximity. It's also located in the Benjamin Van Clark Park neighborhood. The subject property is zoned RSF6 and has about 1,875 square feet, which is less than a third required by the zoning district. So it is a non-conforming parcel due to both lot width and area. The lot is currently vacant. The petitioner is proposing to build a primary dwelling with a footprint of about 630 square feet. All other development standards will be met, including the eaves and overhangs being within the requested setback encroachment. So this section of the ordinance requires side interior setbacks of 5 feet. They're requesting to reduce that to 4 for one side and 3 feet for the other side. So similarly, the requested variances are not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the parcel is significantly smaller than expected for its zoning district. So the lot area and lot width are hardships for this. Here is the proposal from the petitioner. Here's the driveway. They'll be coming in from East Waldburg Street, and then they'll have the 3 feet and the 4 feet on the sides. And then similarly, staff did an approximate building envelope to show what could potentially be built with the enforced setbacks. So with that said, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested two variances.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? All right. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Morning, Ellen Harris again, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I think this is very similar to the other previous petition in that the development pattern supports a reduced side yard setbacks, and just ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner?
It's just you'll want to inform your client. I'm sure you know this, that when you start to get within 3 feet of a setback, we need fireproofing on these walls.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So that they don't. I know it's a nonprofit organization, so they may not be aware of that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? I mean, for the petitioner. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Sally tells me there's no members of the public that wish to speak. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Ball?
Seems like a good use of a small lot. Seems like I'd be inclined to support it.
Mr. Plum?
No.
Someone like to make a motion?
I move that we approve the requested variance.
Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the requested variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? All right, Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plum?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 7936 White Bluff Road, variance for signs at a restaurant, 25-004284.
Okay, this is our last petition of the day for 7936 White Bluff Road. The petitioner is requesting the following two variances for proposed drive-through and wall signs at a restaurant in the BC Zoning District. One is to allow digital changeable copy to comprise 100% of the sign area of a drive-through sign, where 20% is permitted, which is essentially the digital interface of the sign. And two, to allow 238.26 square feet of wall signage, where 139.5 square feet is permitted based on the building frontage. Here is the parcel to give context to the aerial and site map. It's located in the Avalon / Oglethorpe Mall area neighborhood. The parcel measures just under 107,000 square feet. It has varying lengths of width and depth due to the irregular shape of the parcel, and it is zoned BC. The principal structure on this lot is a fast food restaurant located in the southern portion of the parcel. It was recently built, so this is not accurate of what currently exists now. I believe this building is demolished, and there is a new building constructed in the southern portion of the parcel, which is what they're referencing for variances today. So the new structure is approximately 5,210 square feet, according to the petitioner. So they are proposing to install one drive-through signs and five wall signs, which are what they need variances for. So I'm going to scroll down to some photos to help visualize it a little bit better. So here is a drive-through sign that they're proposing. The zoning ordinance allows you to have 20% of the sign being digital, whereas they're requesting 100%. And then they are also requesting five signs on the different sides of the buildings. This sign, one side on the east, this sign, one on the north, and then three of these on the northwest and south. And then those also correspond with these right here, E, C, B, D, and F, so that there are signs on all sides of the building, just to kind of like provide context to visualize it a little bit better. And then they also provided a mock-up too, where it shows the signs that we provided here. So for the drive-through sign, as mentioned, it says you can only have 20%, and they're requesting 100%. From the zoning ordinance. And then for the wall signs, the total amount of wall signage you can have is based on the building frontage of the building, which is calculated to be 69 feet and 9 inches. So they're allowed 139.5 square feet based off of that. We also researched other sign ordinances in the region. So with that said, the proposal is generally not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the variance for the drive-through sign is consistent with the prevailing development pattern. And then here is the plan as mentioned previously. So with that said, MPC staff recommends approval of the variance for the drive-through sign since it is consistent with the development pattern. And then as there is no hardship, MPC staff recommends denial of the second variance for exceeding the wall signage based on the building frontage.
All right, any questions for staff?
Is this where the Jim and Nick's barbecue is? Okay.
Yeah, it's right
that
next
corner
to it.
Of the, okay.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hello, my name is Pete Hatcher.
Good morning.
Regarding the drive-thru menu boards, these will be static. They'll only change between breakfast and lunch, and they will not flash, scroll, or animate or cause unnecessary glare and to surrounding properties or businesses. And those signs are consistent with the McDonald's digital menu boards across the street on the other side of White Bluff Road. Regarding the wall signs, these are the national branding standard for all Chick-fil-A locations. In addition to the reason for variance explanation you have received, I would also like to state that sign D would be used for vehicles entering the lot from the north to indicate the building location when they're driving in, and sign E would do the same for vehicles entering the lot from White Bluff on the east. The hardship, in addition to the reasons already submitted, is that the unique shape of the lot required the building to be placed in this orientation to provide adequate parking and drive-through stacking. That's all I have, and I'll answer any questions you might have for me.
Anybody have questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you very much, sir. Sadie, I got a question for you. You may know, I realize that some of these Chick-fil-A's are owned by different people, but the other ones in the area, more specifically the newest one over on the other end of White Bluff and Durin, did it get variances for its signage?
I am not aware.
All right, thank you. Hey, I do actually have a question for you, sir. There is certain signage that you're able to have by right. What makes that something that you need to vary from? Why can't you just use the ones that you're allowed to have?
The only ones we'd be allowed to have. Let me pull this up here. We would only be allowed to have two by code. And that would be preferably signed C and B. They're both facing, you know, White Bluff and Abercorn. But that's a big lot. So pulling into the lot, you know, of course, when you drive past, you'll be able to see where it's at. But when you pull in, you know, so everybody knows where the building is from all the elevations. And then there's, of course, the welcome sign, you know, for Oglethorpe as well.
Okay. We'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Baugh, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk? Mr. Condon?
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Is it the total volume of signs that creates the issue for these guys or the specific size of specific signs?
So I would say both and. So it's based on like the total cumulative square footage. So right here, I put the square footage amount of each sign. So it's all of them added together. So they're allowed 139.5 square feet in total that they can kind of choose how they want that look for the signs.
And the one sign, the changeable text, it has a certain size it has to hold.
So it all adds up. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Any more questions, Mr. Cunn?
I have one more question for you.
Okay.
So as we're looking here on the map at the location of the business, the way that the building is going to be set, the front facing is almost, as you say, at the driveway entrance, if I understand how it's going to be built correctly. And so you'd be driving past it before you'd see it. Is that your concern based on where it's supposed to be built?
Correct, where the drives are. Yes. You know, when you get up there, when you see that sign on front, you're already past the drive.
So are you going to pull in that area there to then come inside to access your building? It's a little hard to see from the aerial map that we're looking at.
I have some. Actually, I have a photo here. If I could see.
Please. Give it to Ms. Sally. So that's the McDonald's. Well, that's his. So is this the McDonald's? So there'll be a sign. If you take the Nick's Barbecue building, and that's more or less where you're going to position the new restaurant, yes?
I'm sorry.
The Nick's Barbecue building, is that where you're going to position the new restaurant?
Yes, correct.
So what you're looking for is signage that faces Abercorn and White Bluff and the parking lot.
Yeah, which would be C and B currently.
Kind of see that it's a bit of a unique circumstance, I think, because he's got frontage on here and access to it if you're driving by here or if you're driving by here. If they were allowed to have that, they just put on the front, the guys driving by Abercorn, I'm going to see it. People in the parking lot want to be able to find it.
Mr. Conan, do you have anything else?
No more questions. Thank you.
Mr. Turner, I'm guessing you probably don't have anything you want to add. Right. Mrs. Jones? Mr. Griffith?
No, sir.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the petitioner's request.
For both variances?
For both variances.
All right. Mr. Griffith has made a motion to approve the petitioner's request for both variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the variances are approved. And there's no other business before us, so we're adjourned. Thank you.